my old face.
Everybody, welcome to the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Podcast. We're your hosts today, TJ, Zach, and Raj.
Hey there.
Hey.
So today we got your week 23 preview. We're going to be talking about the best schedules, worst schedules. It's kind of a strange week, but in a good way. You guys can find us on Twitter at FHF Hockey and in the Fantasy Hockey Discord. Let's get into storylines and injuries. First storyline I want to talk about is this Sean Durza kid. Zach, we were talking before we went on the air. You just picked him up. Did you get him for that 3-assist game, or is that what kind of tipped you off to him?
No, I've been kind of like, he's been in like, someone I've been looking at lately just because of the schedule, but I got him after that 3-assist game, just because I wanted to pick him up for the, you know, I had a D spot open, I had all my like, you know, I had center, left wing, right wing, all filled up, so I was like, you know what, let's look around at some defensemen, he's the one I went with. So we'll see what he does tonight. I'm rooting for him big time tonight because, you know, well, he's playing for me.
I mean, if you get anything close to the stat line he put up last game, that's going to be a win. He put up 3 assists, 3 shots, a hit, 2 blocks. One of those assists was on the power play. One was shorthanded. Just a beautiful stat line, top to bottom. Mm-hmm. Taking over the top power play for, what's his fuck, Drew Doughty. And he's going to come up because LA, pretty much any team that has 4 games this week, I like. We're going to get more into that. Have you guys seen Evgeny Dadonov since he returned?
Yeah, man.
Scored the OT winner tonight. Scored a goal in his first game back. He's a new man.
New lease on life, huh? New lease on life.
Is there any interest in his second trip through Vegas?
Man, he's not. He scored in both games, but he's also got 3 assists in those games. So he's got 5 points in 2 games.
Beautiful.
He's back and... he's back and he's angry. He's even hitting. He's got a block in each game. Wow. Wow is all I can say. I don't see him being, 2 point a night guy, but if he's going to be hanging out with Jack Eichel, which it seems like they keep putting him back there, he's viable. Absolutely.
And Jack Eichel's finally getting his feet under him here too.
Yeah. And don't forget about Nicholas Waugh on that top line. Come on. Best right wing depth in the league. Michael Amadio, fourth line center.
It's pretty crazy, but I think he's actually a guy to watch right now. I would hang on to him for the time being. But if he drops off of Eichel's line, then obviously he's back to the old Dadonov.
Toast.
I mean, I'm fine with a stream. It's for me, it's just that I don't trust the Golden Knights.
They have lost a step this year. I don't think that's a point you can argue.
It took overtime for them to beat the Blackhawks. Like, they were losing 3-0 going into the third period. Now, mind you, they came back and won today. But, like, they looked really bad. They looked really bad doing it.
It was a weird night of hockey. Like, Montreal steps all over Toronto at this point. Vancouver putting up 4 against Dallas. Like, you know, nothing against Vancouver. That's just not the way I thought that game would go. And then, like you're saying, this Vegas game, you know, 9 goals all day. That's a heavy one.
5 of them scored in the third period.
Vegas has been ice cold, right? Like, they got shut out 2 games in a row, and then they came right back as soon as Dadonov came back, and 6 goals and 5 goals. You know, previous to the 2 shutouts, they've scored 5 goals there as well. So they've been a tale of 2 teams for sure. But I think it's surprising how bad they were doing. So it would be not too surprising for them to go on a anger run here around Dadonov and heading into the playoffs. I wouldn't be too surprised.
Well, when you add a guy like Dadonov at the trade deadline, that's the final piece of the puzzle, it seems. So good on him. Giroux looking really good in Florida. They're running like that 5-forward power play at this point. Duclair, still pretty interesting. Florida's schedule this week coming up. They got 4 games. The heaviest night, something I keep alluding to at this point, is the heaviest nights this week have 9 games. Which are 1 game off from being like right on that threshold for an off night. I think it's going to be an easy week for streaming. You can go for anybody So I don't mind Duclair with this week. Technically zero off nights. Andrew Kopp looking like a hold in New York for the Rangers right now. They have a 4-game 2 off night week. They had Vetrano on their top line, Kopp with Panarin and Strom, Lafreniere, who's been pretty hot himself, on the third line. What's your read on this, guys? Like, if we had to pick between those three guys, Kopp, Vetrano, and Lafreniere, who you rank and where? Raj, I want to start with you.
Well, I'm sticking by what I said last time we went through it. I believe in Kopp as the most all-round, and he's been pretty good. I mean, him and Vetrano have both been good, so, as is Lafreniere. So I wouldn't be surprised to see those three swap in and out. They have a really great top six, so I don't honestly think it matters too much if they get swapped around. I don't think there's any reason why all three of those guys can't be useful over the next couple of weeks.
So how do you rank these gentlemen?
Kopp, Vetrano, Lafreniere.
Zach, what do you say?
I second that emotion.
Me too. Yeah.
And it's not that I don't like I want to say Vetrano, but I just don't think it's the right answer. Like, if I was saying that, I feel like I would be plain devil's advocate. And even though I do like Vetrano, Andrew Kopp just has much more of, you know, an ability to get multi-point games, and they both really fill the stat sheet. So it's not like you're dropping off too much anywhere there. So I think it all comes down to points, and I think Kopp has a better chance of getting them. Especially the way that line's playing right now. That line.
I like that Panarin line.
Playing really well altogether.
Yeah, there's no bad spot to be in the top six at this point. Kopp, great time on ice. A lot of it going shorthanded. He's got 3 points in 2 games. A couple of hits. You know, he's taking faceoff wins. I got Kopp at the top two. Vetrano and Lafreniere. So that's unanimous, all three.
Wow.
In Calgary, Sean Monahan's been a scratch. And news came out that he's like dealing with this hip thing. So I don't know if that's... That explains the year that he's been having and the reason that he scratched. Just getting that looked at.
The reason why he's been on the fourth line for, you know, little while now.
So he's saying that if he bends over, even if it's just to take a face off, it takes a couple seconds for his hip to like pop back out. Ugh. So it's just been tough for him to play high. And like, that's a lot of what hockey is. It's just like using your hips.
It's all in the hips. Yeah, it's all in the hips.
Get off of me.
He just easing the tension, baby.
Especially for a center. Like, that's got to be tough. So, I don't know. I'm keeping a watch on Sean Monahan. He's kind of played himself out of relevance this year. It's tough to watch because he is, you know, we've seen it before. He's super talented. So, just wanted to touch on that before we got into injuries here, man. Why don't you take us through the infirmary?
All right. So, we are doing the injuries. Let's start out with some. Let's start out with a pair of goaltenders here. Actually, we can go. A whole bunch of goaltenders. Most of these injuries are goaltenders. Now that I really kind of take a better look at it, going to start with Laurent Pessoit. He has been playing pretty crappy lately, but he was out against today's game. I believe it was Logan Thompson that had the start today against Chicago, and you know, it seems like any goalie that's going in is not getting the goal support. And then, boom, they scored 4 goals in the third to bring Logan Thompson to a win today. But he still let in 4 goals. But Pessoit is out for now. Hopefully that won't be too long. Korpisalo, however, Jonas Korpisalo is about to get season-ending hip surgery. So he is going to be out for the rest of the season. That's sad because I do like Corpy. I really do. And, you know, we won't be able to get to see another 71-shot shutout in the playoffs from Korpisalo again this year. Wasn't that how many
saves he had? It was a lot.
It's like 71 saves or something like that. It was a lot.
It was a weak winner. Before we get too far away, man, I want to gauge your interest on Logan Thompson here.
I streamed him today.
And you got lucky that you got that win.
Yeah, I mean, a lucky win's a win. So I needed a win, and saw he was in, so why not? I do feel like Vegas is going to get some wins. It wasn't a great win, so the percentages were pretty brutal, but I really just needed a win, and he got me that. And I think if Vegas is going to score 5 goals a game or whatever, they're going to win. Oilers style.
This could very well be a turning point for him. Logan Thompson starting 8 straight for Vegas. He's won four of them, got pulled once, and lost three. Only two roast beef sandwiches before quality starts. I don't know, man. There's a little bit there. Like, he's playing decent teams. He beat Florida, lost to Minnesota, beat Nashville. Not bad teams. All right. Proceeding along with the injured goalies.
Okay. Next up, Casey DeSmith. Day-to-day with an undisclosed. He did leave Friday's game against New York, didn't return. So Jari is going to most likely see, you know, a bunch of that volume. There is Louis Domingue that should be getting called back up. I mean, I don't think you're really losing much by Casey DeSmith being out. I don't care what any of you guys ever say. If you want to stream him, go right ahead. Oh, and by the way, Logan Thompson, I'm not personally in on just because I'm kind of staying away from the Golden Knights. I don't trust them. I don't trust them and the run that they're going to try and make. I don't see it happening. I think that about does it for our goalie run. We just had our goalie run. It's like, you know, you get to the third, fourth round and just everybody starts snagging up goalies. That's what we just went through. Next up, Travis Konecny, he missed the Colorado game. He has lower body injury. He is going to be out. But honestly, he hasn't really been... I thought he was going to amount to more this year, I guess is the way I want to say it. He just hasn't been doing it. But Cam Atkinson, Joel Farabee, I think are really the guys that you're looking to get. And I'm telling you, Joel Farabee, I'm not going to stop.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop. I don't care if Travis Konecny is in or out. Joel Farabee is still doing it. Okay, next up, Evgeny Malkin is out due to non-COVID illness. Now, what sucks for this a little bit, and for you two guys who, you know, who were on the Raquel train, Raquel was projected to be on the second line with Malkin, and then boom, Malkin doesn't play. What are your... How long are we going to keep saying, oh, well, what are your expectations for Raquel?
Seems like too long. We've been doing it for years. There was no power play time, but I expect that to change. So, you know, Carter, Malkin. Malkin's obviously better. As soon as he comes back, I'm a little more interested in Raquel. I want to see some power play time there before I really put my eggs in those baskets.
Yeah, I dropped a couple of shares of him today. Just, he was taking up space.
Ooh.
Fortunately, I wanted him to be good. I picked him up in just about every league, but you know, my usual rule, three games, no points, you're gone.
Raj, I've been wanting Raquel to be good since like 2017.
Okay, this Battle of Alberta game is switching tides very quickly. They just scored two goals in like 13 seconds. Okay.
Nice.
Okay, next up, Tanner Janot is winning at life, man.
He's banging bodies all over the place.
Yeah, he said literally. He's welcoming a baby. He had a baby day to day with personal reasons. He's with his wife celebrating the birth of a child. So Tanner Janot is out. When he comes back, he is still super viable for a stream or even possibly a hold. Like we said before, Tanner Janot hits, blocks.
If it's shots, his first kid, he's getting like dad strength points. Too. So. Those hits are going to go up.
Tanner Janot is doing the damn thing right now. So good for you, brother. Congrats.
Kudos. Congrats.
Jeff Petry is out day to day with lower body. He left Thursday game.
This one got updated, actually. He's going to be out a while.
He's going to be out a while. He left Thursday's game versus Florida.
Got some further evaluation.
that is a bummer. That is a bummer. You have down here just bummer. Agreed. That is a bummer because he was kind of like, so Montreal starting to play better. Jeff Petry starting to play better, and then boom, this happens. He's probably going to be out for a while. Most likely, that means he is going to be out for the rest of your fantasy season. If you're in playoffs right now, you might not get him back. Now, if people that have a later playoff season, we'll see. But as of right now, he is back. Luckily, some players did return. Victor Arvidsson, he's returning. And Alex Martinez returned today for Vegas. He didn't have too much on the stat sheet. You know, he's back and playing.
And that's not going to be bad for their goalies. Having their best defenseman back, it won't.
No, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all.
What do you think about Arvidsson? He got an assist in his first game back, had a couple of shots, a couple of hits. Any interest level there? He was having, a pretty good, just above streamer level. I would always think about dropping him, but always opted to keep him. What do you think? Are we hopping back on?
Well, you know, I picked him up for some time before he had gotten hurt.
Right, yeah.
I actually held him in my IR for a while until it got a little crowded in there, and then he had to get dropped for the rest of his, stint on IR. But I'm definitely interested in having him back on my team, and I'm definitely interested in getting some of those points that he keeps on getting. I like points.
Say it until we die. All right, that's going to bring us into the week preview, the daily breakdown. As I was alluding to earlier, there's no real heavy nights here, so I think this is going to be pretty comfy for streaming. You got 5 games on Monday, 9 on Tuesday, Wednesday's got 6, Thursday 9, Friday 7, Saturday and Sunday both have 9. So there isn't that 14 game Saturday or 10 game Sunday, Thursday, but it's just real even across the board. So I don't know how much stock when you guys get a week like this, do you really put too much stock into off nights? Cause I think even, depending on how deep your roster is, do you think you're going to have bench trouble in a week like this?
Probably not.
No, it's not that I'm going to have bench trouble, but I want to try to still get as many people in on these days that have 5 games, 6 games, 7 games. You know what I mean? Like, there are 4 teams this week, or this upcoming week, that have quote-unquote all off-night schedules. 4 teams have perfect schedules this week, the way we like to say it.
And it's only that 9-game Sunday that's in the way of it being, truly perfect. They're kind of off-nights, but they're not technically. Those 4 teams with 4 games and 3 off nights with that Sunday: Seattle, Edmonton, Buffalo, and Arizona. So those are the best streaming option teams. That kind of sucks. Kind of sucks from us shopping around on the waiver wire.
Lots of availability there at least.
True. Yeah. Plenty to play with. Where do you guys want to start between these 4 teams? Is there anybody you like, especially just based on who they're playing that week?
As far as their schedule goes?
Yeah, so everybody's got the same days, but let's talk opponents. Does anybody have a more easy road?
I think it's a toss-up between Edmonton and Arizona, because Arizona actually does have a pretty decent schedule this week. They're playing at Edmonton on Monday, then they have San Jose and Anaheim through the middle of the week, and then finish out the week against Chicago in Chicago.
Those are winnable games.
Absolutely.
Even if Edmonton beats you, you're still putting up 4 or 5.
Yeah.
You can, realistically.
Same thing with San Jose. Same thing with Anaheim. Same thing with Chicago. These games, a lot of them are going to be, 3, 4, or 5 goal games that Arizona is going to be scoring.
Hope so.
And, I'm really hoping that you stuck with your Nick Schmaltz and didn't drop him,
Yeah. I mean, he is available in 57% of leagues, which is crazy. You might have thought I was out of line saying that he's been scoring as much as Connor McDavid since February. It's really not that far-fetched. Schmaltz and McDavid are off by 0.11 points per game since February. Schmaltz has 1.39, McDavid 1.5. So 57% of you nerds out there have a McDavid-level production on the waiver wire. Even if it's unsustainable, whatever you want to say, go get Schmaltz, especially for this week.
Tentatively, but I mean, they've hit the brakes. They haven't scored over 2 goals in 5 games. 4 games, sorry. So they've scored 2 goals in their last 3. And before that, they only scored 1 goal. So the whole sort of offensive juggernaut Arizona Coyotes is coming back into their normal zone. Having said that, I mean, those big boys still are hanging around a point per game, but
that's what I was going to say. Who's still getting, goals and assists on those goals that they are scoring? Nick fucking Schmaltz.
Yeah.
Still is.
2 points in his last 4. So I'd say he's definitely cooling down from McDavid points.
He also has 2 points in his last 2, Raj. It just depends on how you want to say it.
Yeah, we got a cherry pick here.
Well, if you want to keep on believing that he's McDavid level sustainably, then you go right ahead. I've dropped all my Arizona guys.
I said it was unsustainable.
Exactly. And I think we're seeing that it's declining.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm happy that I held on to my Nick Schmaltz, and I'm going to hold on to him for another week at least.
All right, so let's strike everything that has been said from the record. Just strike everything that's been said from the record. Can we all agree that Nick Schmaltz is probably the best option from Arizona?
Yay. I vote yay.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I think it's arguable with Kraus if you're in a bangers league, but
Kraus has been fun. Also has 2 points in his last four, mm-hmm. which is good to lead the team. So Nick Schmaltz actually leads the team in points in like a six-way tie. Everybody has 2 points. I mean, you got Goss Despair, fucking Kraus, Schmaltz, Kessel, Keller, all your big guys. But I mean, like you were saying, availability being the name of the game here. Clayton Keller is the most owned Arizona Coyote. I think Kraus is 24. Phil Kessel, for whatever he's worth, is 10%. Nick Ritchie, if you're looking for a little bit everything, 3. I do like Nick Schmaltz, but it is unmistakably slowing down. So it's worth noting for sure. So what team is next? Do we want to go to Edmonton playing right now?
I like Edmonton. Yeah, obviously.
Sure. I'm down to go to Edmonton. I know who you're going to think I'm going to say to pick up, and the same guy you did pick up, TJ.
Yeah, he is the answer right now. Edmonton,
I know,
has Arizona, LA, St. Louis, and Anaheim. So it's pretty close to the same schedule that Arizona has. On one hand, Edmonton's offense is on the uptick, and Arizona's is on the downtick, as Raj noted. Edmonton might be the guy, might be the place to go. Kyler Yamamoto is the answer here. Without a doubt, 24% rostered right wing on another level since he's been on that first line. He's got 12 points in his last 8 games.
I feel like there's someone who said that.
Time on ice has been really good, but he is shooting close to 40%, which is fucking insane. But it's also like right up there with stuff that Yamamoto does for a couple months at a time. The shots aren't great, but he's got 7 goals. I don't know. That's going to happen when you're playing with Connor McDavid.
He's one you can count on for a little bit, but I think he's on just on the right end, like on the crest of his trajectory. He likes to do that, like you said. Like, he'll be absolutely unsustainably great like this for a couple of weeks, maybe a month, and then just like, where did he go for half of the season? So similar thing. I just feel like Edmonton's offense is just on the way up, whereas Arizona's is on the way down a bit.
On the precipice.
On the precipice.
The cusp, the crescendo.
Dude, I'm just glad that you guys are finally coming around on this Kyler Yamamoto thing. Like, how long have I been saying this?
Don't blame me. Blame Kyler Yamamoto. He wasn't doing jack shit to convince me otherwise.
He sucked a lot.
Well, the past couple of weeks, he has been on some other shit, man.
Past couple of years, he's been kind of shit, man.
He has 5 multi-point games in his last 10 games.
I know. It took a while. And obviously, I hadn't jumped on the train until now, which is like pretty late in. But there's still, he's 75% available at this point. And Edmonton has a bitchin' sweet schedule. So it feels right. And it feels like the perfect time to chance it. Like you said, I picked him up in our home league. Going to see where it is. I think as soon as that line one deployment goes away, that's it. But he's going to play himself out of that deployment. So that'll be our signal to know that, like, hey, it's over.
I think it's a ton of time on ice, too.
Pretty cut and dry with him. If he's on that line, great. If he's not, no.
Exactly. So just watch the line combinations. Is there any interest in anybody else on this team? Like, Zach Hyman has kind of been fading a little bit, 65% rostered. And then the options after that are pretty fucking brutal.
Yeah, Puljujarvi's done.
You know, the third line is really not that bad. I mean, you have RNH that came back. He got a point in his first game back. Derek Brassard, who can score. He scored tonight, Derek Brassard did. And Jesse Puljujarvi. I think any of those three options, likely you're not going to get an RNH because I would think that anybody smart would have held on to him even though he was in IR. But I mean, Brassard, it's a goal waiting to happen. And Puljujarvi, you know, I like him a lot better on that second line. He was doing very well before he got hurt. Now that he got back and he's not playing along with Dreisaitl, he's a little less viable. But yeah, I mean, number one, it's Yamamoto. And then after that, you know, I'd be looking at, you know, a Hyman or Puljujarvi in that next kind of tier of player.
I am enraged by this RNH on line three thing. Like, Brassard just seemed like the quintessential line three center pickup at a deadline. And then they do fuck all with it, and they move Brassard to the left wing, and they keep RNH. Like, I think that's a ticking time bomb. Like, he's just, I don't know what they're doing. But I do see him going into the top six soon enough and pushing somebody out. I don't know.
Oh, I sure fucking hope so. I mean, yeah. Believe me. I hope more than anybody.
He feels so underused there.
He had 7 shots in his return.
Yeah, he did.
Just pretty cool. So, I don't know. Short-lived is what I'm hoping for that third-line center role for RNH at this point.
I just got to say one thing, sorry. You know, one thing that's not going to be short-lived since we're talking about the Oilers right now is Kane.
He's been good. But he got pushed off that top power play. Is there any worry there?
I'm not worried at all. 4 hits a game, like a goal per game pace for like 7 games or something. He's worked out.
It was a good pickup. Good pickup. Seattle or Buffalo? Where do you guys want to go?
Yeah. Neither.
Let's go Seattle.
Seattle. Yeah.
Let's go Seattle.
Saving the best for last, boys. All right. I want to know who you guys like, because for me, there is a clear cut answer. And then, you know, it's kind of like backup options at that point.
I think I like the same person as you. And for me, it's a D. It's Vince Dunn is my favorite from that team. He's just been on fire. And he's the kind of guy where if, like, they're going to get hammered, maybe, possibly, in those couple of games against Vegas, even LA can put some shots on net. So there's going to be a lot of blocks. But he's been scoring. I think he's running the power play with Giordano gone. He's taken over. I think they're just kind of seeing, like, is this the new guy? Is he the new number one D with Giordano out? And he's been absolutely delivering.
That's right. Yeah, he was the guy I had, too. He's 26% rostered to this point. Put a pin in this one. But with Letty taking over for Torrey Krug, let's talk Letty, Sean Durzi, or Vince Dunn. Let's rank those three. Letty's number 3 for me. I'm just going to put it out there. It's 1 and 2 that's tough. I don't know which one I like more. I feel like there's more stability with Dunn.
That's exactly where I'm going to go. I have to see what I'm going to get with Sean Durzi. I don't know that I believe what I've seen so far. So I just want to see more of it. See if it's actually for real. I know what I'm getting out of Vince Dunn. I don't know what I'm getting out of Sean Durzi. So I feel like Sean Durzi has the highest upside. He has the highest ceiling. But also, you know, Vince Dunn's floor isn't as low as I think Sean Durzi's is either.
Well, that's part of the debate that's going on inside my head, too, is like I think L.A., they have a higher offensive ceiling as a team. So I think that trickles down to Durzi. Like, they have a better offense. They have a better power play. The power play sees more share. I think it's pretty split down in Seattle. So I do think Durzi edges this one out. I got Durzi number 1. I'll take that risk. But Dunn does seem like the safer, less exciting, less boom, but also less chance of a bust.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. But it depends. Are you flying high or are you a conservative? I think the conservative fantasy player would probably lean Dunn right now. But with all these D injuries popping up, there's 3 right there, 3 guys that you can pick off the waiver wire. With fucking Nick Letty way at the bottom for me. All right. So the teams with 3 games or 4 games and 3 off nights, St. Louis. So Nick Letty right there. And that's the only team. I want to talk before we get into like streaming options here. What are you guys doing? Like, I'm a Binnington owner, right? So I need you to either talk me off the ledge or talk me into it, because Binnington's only seen 4 of the last 10 starts and he did not play tonight.
Billy fucking Huso, man.
Billy Huso has been the guy.
Yeah, man.
Billy Huso also lost 7-2 tonight.
Ooh.
So I wonder if the tides might turn. Yeah, to Carolina. Like, Binnington's just been ass for, I mean, to get 10 starts for him, you have to go all the way back to pretty much the turn of the year, January 9th. And he's been 3-6-1, under 900. He has 1 shutout in there. So that tells you how bad he's been. He mixes a 1,000 save percentage in, and he's still sub 900 in his last 10. Huso, last 10, 5-2-3, mixed this shitty start in there. Neither goalie's playing well, but if you got to go with a lukewarm hand, it's going to be Huso. So I don't know. Like, do I drop Binner at this point and go for the volume? Do I punt it completely? I'm on the precipice of dropping him.
There's a lot of precipices going on.
Precipice?
Would it be precipice? It sounds delicious. No, I think you got to stick with Binnington here. I mean, that's the long-term option. You have to think so. I feel like if you drop a Binnington, he's going to get picked up immediately. I know that I went through this same thing with Merzlikins, but I don't think that Binnington and Merzlikins are on the same level.
Their ceilings, maybe not, but their performance this year, yes. And what would you be surprised if I told you Ville Husso right now is more owned than Jordan Binnington by 1%? They're both available in a third of leagues.
I wouldn't be surprised because I already saw that, but before that, I would have been surprised.
It's just, it's so lopsided. I mean, you got to scroll down to find Binnington's last above 900 game. It's a tough one. I would definitely, if there's other goalies available that you can confidently stream to get enough starts in the next couple of weeks, I would drop Binnington. And I don't know. And
our leagues are pretty goalie friendly. Like, it's hard to get negative points. Really,
we are getting into that that time of year where there isn't later, right? Like, there isn't later. Like, all of our listener leagues, we start right. We start playoffs tomorrow. So it's like you win or that's it. So these are the times where slightly more drastic decisions might have to get made like that. Like, it's do or die time. It's do or die time.
You start looking at guys like Logan Thompson and Anton Forsberg and Kevin Lankinen even. Like, Lankinen's not been, you know, he's picking up the slack here and there.
I mean, he only had 5 goals scored on him today.
He's exceeding expectations. The caveat there is my expectations were already pretty low.
Very low then.
Very low.
Which I agree. My expectations were very low too.
He's exceeding them. Okay, so next problem in St. Louis, which sucks because of how good their playoff schedule is, but Buchnevich is kind of having trouble lately. Half point per game since returning. He's been shooting crazy good minutes, but a lot of it's on the PK. He's been on the power play, like, for most of the year it's been 50%, but lately it's 30. So they're really stacking that top unit. He's line 3, he's power play 2. What are we doing with Booch here? Like, he's 73% rostered, but he's putting up a half point per game. Granted, it's only been like 4 or 5 games since he returned. It's tough.
He did get both goals tonight. He got both of St. Louis's good goals, so it could just be a rust thing, but I mean, all of a sudden it's 4 points in the last 5 games. I mean, we love Booch. I think he'll be all right. Frustrating, but all right.
Yeah, so that brings him to 4 points in 5 games,
which is, you know, where Pavel Buchnevich always is. And I was going to preach patience on this one for sure. I'm not going to let go of a Buchnevich if I have him. Really, that top 9 is super fucking solid. And hell, for offense, you know, the only line I don't really want to be on is, you know, the O'Reilly Perron line. I'd rather be on any other line in that top 3 with the offensive talent, whether it be Robert Thomas or Jordan Carew or Vladimir Tarasenko. Pavel Buchnevich is right in the mix of that. So I'm still in big time on a Buch.
You gotta hand it to Perron. He has been something else lately. He's really turned it on. But Ryan O'Reilly, somehow he's like allergic to all these points that Perron is scoring. I don't know.
It's what O'Reilly does. I mean, he is a playmaker that just doesn't get on the score sheet. And that's fine because he is, you know, for a hockey team, he's just what a hockey team needs. For a fantasy hockey team, not exactly.
It's tough. He's 74% rostered. A lot of these numbers are inflated just with how good the playoff schedule is for St. Louis. So let's talk about streaming options. We kind of already talked about Nicoletti, you know, Torrey Krug week to week. Krug was only scoring a power play point every 4 games, 0.28 power play points per game. So if that's the ceiling, like, no offense to Nicoletti or anything, but I think you're a step behind Torrey Krug here. I don't know. It's not super interesting. He doesn't bring a lot to the table. We already ranked him 3 out of 3. So there's 2 better defenseman options out there. I don't know. Do you guys have like a final word on Nicoletti here?
I don't think so. It's not a great power play. And they wouldn't be too upset to move Justin Falk in there, you know, if it's not working as well. So
yeah, that could be quick.
Yeah, I'm not in.
Which is something we've also seen them do before.
Right. Yeah. And he brings the banks.
Nicoletti isn't the offensive giant that I want really on my power play anyway. I'm not in on a Nicoletti super high.
Yep.
I won't be surprised at all when Justin Falk does take over that power play.
So who are the guys that we're looking at this week? I mean, Rob Thomas is back. Is there anything there?
Always. Always.
Assists are there, I'm sure.
It's going to take a lot for me to... I see you shaking your head, and that's fine. But it's going to be hard for me to, you know, not like Rob Thomas.
Let me read you his stats since returning. He's got one block. I'm done.
It's true.
Oh, no, he got two assists tonight. So there you go. Two assists. Never mind. God, I fucking hate this guy. And he has a shot, so yeah, good for him.
He's just so limited in categories, right? Like, if it's a straight-up points league, he's a little bit... Well, I'd say he's a lot more on my radar than if it's a categories league with hits and blocks and stuff like that.
What do you make of Brandon Saad? Line one, power play one, 11% rostered, left wing, right wing. A couple points in his last few games, you know, shooting pretty well. Does he outrank Rob Thomas to you guys?
For me, no. For me personally, no. And that's just because I like that second line with Rob Thomas, Buchnevich, and Tarasenko better than Saad, O'Reilly, and Perron.
I'll disagree with that one. And it's not because of my hatred for Rob Thomas. Just because of how hot Perron's been.
You remember a couple of shows ago, one of the fan questions was, is there any players or teams we have blind spots for? Brandon Saad is definitely one of those for me, where my instant gut,
oh, yeah,
my gut reaction is just, no, why would I pick him up? I don't even look at the stats.
Don't even register.
Yeah, I just don't. He doesn't even clock with me. So looking at his stats, I mean, he's definitely could be worth a stream, but not consistently.
All right, moving on. Four games, two off nights. The New York Rangers, the Chicago Blackhawks, and the LA Kings. New York's got Pittsburgh, Detroit, the Islanders, and Philly. That's pretty fucking sweet. And both of their like heavy nights are those nine-game nights, so it's pretty sweet. We talked about Kopp. We talked about Vetrano. We talked about Lafreniere. Three pretty solid streaming options to go with it. We all ranked Kopp at the top. Do we have any other players that are worth noting in Manhattan, Times Square, wherever, Madison Square Garden? I don't want to say in New York because there's three fucking New York teams, but on the Rangers. On the Rangers.
Hey, Tyler Mott's got more hits than Jacob Trouba.
Now you're bang on with Mott, too.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
That top three is that top three. And that's where I'm looking. And I even like Lafreniere, and I definitely have him at three.
I'm just upset that I like the Rangers right now. We were talking about that a couple of days ago. I really like their team right now, and it's frustrating.
I just realized that Blake Coleman got a point tonight, and I am so angry because he has been doing so fucking bad, and I finally dropped him.
Yeah.
And he got a fucking assist. That son of a bitch.
All right, Chicago Blackhawks. There's a couple interesting options here, and it's in places you wouldn't think. Taylor Radish, man, 2% rostered. Right wing, 4 points since joining the Chicago Blackhawks. He had nothing tonight, but he had two shots and three hits. So he is hitting around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings him up to 12 shots, 16 hits and a block since joining in five games. Power play one, line two with Taze and Kubalik. What say you? Very deep league look here.
Stream.
I told you I liked him when the trade happened. I don't know if you recall, but that was the one, you know, I was pretty excited for Taylor Radish to go to Chicago because what I said before was the path to the top in Tampa Bay is not the same as the path to the top in Chicago. It's just an easier path to get into the top six. So now he's playing with, you know, really good talent, especially playmaking talent like Jonathan Toews, who is going to distribute the puck to these shooters like Taylor Radish and like Dominic Kubalik. Taylor Radish is in a great situation, playing with a great player that can get him the puck in places where he can shoot it and be effective.
Is he hitting your watch list or your roster?
I am down for a stream, but I'm also down for a drop to pick up somebody else.
Yeah, no attachments. What's your read on Radish, Raj?
That was a lot of alliteration.
About the same. He's only right wing Radish. So if he fits into your schedule for a night, then I would absolutely roll the dice on the Radish. I'm more interested. Another guy I don't like, and I'm usually blind to, but it's hard to ignore Dylan Strome.
Oh, perfect blind spot. Yeah, he is. He's one of those guys that just never makes it.
He hasn't played under 20 minutes in almost a month. He's like up to like 23, 24 minutes a night. He's getting power play points. He's off and on shooting a bit, but he's getting points pretty much every game. So
yet another goal tonight.
It's kind of gross, but it's another one. Hitting two blocks. He's definitely someone you should pick up. He's 28% rostered center and right wing.
So. Yeah, he's been on a heater. Absolute heater. He's got 16 points in his last 10 games. With a goal tonight, he's up to 17 in 11. Shooting a bunch. Like, a bunch of four-shot games. There's a six-shot game in there. That Kane, DeBrincat, and Strom line is working. So, I mean, they see Buffalo, Florida, Tampa, Arizona. That's bookended by some really nice games, but those middle games are going to be tough. Real tough.
Oh, Draisaitl got another goal. Two Draisaitl goals for you guys.
And by the way, RNH was on that assist for that Draisaitl goal.
Yes, he was.
That's a good look. And it was a 5-on-5 goal, not a power play goal. So,
right at the start of the period, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see how they're kind of finishing up those lines. But, you know, everything's bound to change during the game. I still like Taylor Radish, though. But I don't like actual radishes. Do you like radishes? I don't.
I think they're good complimentary.
I'm not a big root vegetable man.
Ooh.
Oh, I can fuck with root vegetables.
Definitely big on the roots.
I went out to eat. I had this, it was a rutabaga puree with smoked cheddar.
Nice.
Like mixed in. So it was kind of like grits. Fucking great. So good. And there was a pork shank on top, like a honey roasted pork shank. Fell right off the bone. Man, it was good. Real good.
Mm.
And there was smoked collard greens in there with big old bits of bacon. Fucking good.
I can get down with. Yeah,
not so good.
Makes me hungry.
So good.
Turnips.
Well, this was a rutabaga, which is a fucking radish. But yeah. All right, the last team with four games, two off nights is LA. We talked about Jersey. They have Thursday and Saturday, which are both 9-game days, so maybe you can fit them in. They see Seattle, Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg. Kind of an uphill battle, but LA can surprise you. They've been surprising me all year. Victor Arvidsson, we talked about at the top. He's back. He's got an assist, two shots, two hits, and a block since returning at 40% rostered. What's your viability here? Do you like him or do you like Jersey?
Arvidsson.
Yeah?
Yeah, 100%. No doubt about it. Not even close. Victor Arvidsson is the, as soon as he steps onto the ice on that team, he's the main scoring threat. He just
surprising.
Is.
Surprising. I just figured with D being like harder to come by, maybe that would have swayed your decision a little bit. But
and like I said, I even picked up Sean Durzi. It's not that I'm not rooting for the kid, but I think you have a better chance at getting, points, because that's really what you're hoping you're getting from Sean Durzi, because you're not going to get a ton of peripherals from him. So if you're looking to get points from something, I'm going to go with a dual eligible Victor Arvidsson.
Sure. Yep, that makes sense.
Another person who's fairly consistent and getting hard to ignore is Trevor Moore. He's over three shots a game and all under a point per game, but he's got five in his last seven, and keep thinking it's like a 1 or 2 week kind of thing, but he's been relatively good, relatively consistent, and the team is giving him a ton of playing time. So, over 17 minutes a game.
Playing shorthanded, had a shorty. Yeah,
he doesn't get any power play time as far as I can see, but he is like consistently three shots a game, hit a game. So Trevor Moore is, especially in deeper leagues, a guy you can throw in when he fits, because not a keeper by any means, but he seems to always put up some kind of numbers.
This Edmonton-Calgary game is wild. Oliver Shillington just scored. Wow. Anyway.
On a semi-breakaway? Oh, no. He turned it around.
Trevor Moore is giving me like crazy Yoel Armia vibes. You remember when Armia kind of popped off? And like we were like, I don't know. I don't know. And then, 2 months later, we're like, okay, Armia is for real. I'm getting that kind of read here. And I think Trevor Moore, maybe rest of the season could surprise some people. I don't think he's going point per game or anything, but useful, sure. Him and Deneau have been putting things together lately.
Yeah. Deneau.
No, I had Trevor Moore on here too. Durzi as well. Six assists, three on the power play in his last seven games. Almost like 24 minutes time on ice. He had what, like 27 the other night? Crazy. Crazy. So I'm looking at all three of those guys. Is there anybody else you guys are checking out on this team here?
No, the only other person I would have mentioned would have been Phil Deneau. So
what about Kempe? slowing down a bit, but I do still like viable.
Kempe, but you know, we can't name everybody.
Fair enough. Teams with the worst schedules are Washington, who plays Monday and Sunday. So very big stretch there. And then Nashville, who only plays Tuesday and Friday. So let's wrap up the episode. Who are your top three out of everybody we talked about? Who are like the top guys that you like?
I think Yamamoto for me. It's hard to argue with him.
Yeah, he's been my pick for the last 2 weeks, so I would have to agree with that. He would be number one on my list. Nick Schmaltz would be number two, and then probably like an Andrew Kopp would be number three.
I like that. I would agree.
It's a pretty solid list, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Schmaltz and Yamamoto are pretty close for me. Like, I had to think about who I wanted to put at number two. I like Vince Dunn too, you know, just as like a backup option. But then, you know, by virtue, fucking RNH just scored again. Jesus, this game. It's 4-4 now. Yeah. Yay. RNH coming out hot.
Good for me. That means I'm making some points back.
I don't know. I like that Kopp pick. Yeah. I think that's a pretty unanimous top three. Raj, was Kopp your number three?
I had Yamamoto, Kopp, and I just put Vince Dunn in just to put a D in the top three, only reason. And then, yeah, I had, as my backup options, I had Strom, Dersey, and Schmaltz.
Strom. Yeah, I was just going to change my third to Strom. So for me, it's...
I might do that after we talked about him.
Yeah, Yamamoto, Schmaltz, and Strom. All right, backup options. We talked a bunch. Like, there's a handful of guys that we're trying to worm in here. Zach, do you want to take us through like the first half of the week before we get to the weekend preview as far as goalie streams in a 0G type thing? There's no back-to-backs. Actually, Monday, Tuesday, you got the Hurricanes. Those are two tough games.
And Monday, Tuesday, so you're looking at Washington and Tampa Bay. But, I mean, Ronta has played against the good teams as well. And he has also won against the good teams. In fact, he won today against St. Louis, who only scored two goals on him. So I think that Ronta is a definite look at, you know, an early week streamer. But then you have a bunch of teams that have, you know, middle of the week back-to-backs. Winnipeg, San Jose, Los Angeles has one. And I think that about does it. It's not until the weekend. Obviously, the weekend you're going to have a decent amount of back-to-backs on Saturday and Sunday. But my initial early week stream for 0G is going to be Carolina. It's going to be Ronta.
What about what I can only assume is going to be Georgiev versus the Red Wings?
I like that one myself, yeah.
Tuesday and a Wednesday.
Detroit's been slowing down a little bit.
I could see that for sure.
But as Zach mentioned, I really like a few of the goalie streams over the weekend, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday kind of thing. Anaheim, Tampa, and Dallas. I would be looking more towards those personally when it comes to planning my goalies for the week.
Are you looking at a Brian Elliott playing either Chicago or Montreal?
Yeah, I'm liking that.
He did okay against Detroit tonight.
He always does okay. Brian Elliott, he always does okay.
That's the ceiling. That's the ceiling.
I'm fine okay with that, though. But when I'm looking for a 0G pickup on, you know, one of the best teams in the NHL in Tampa Bay, who's going to give you generally goal support, yeah, I like the team. He keeps getting these, you know, easy to eat up teams, you know, playing Detroit. Yeah, they can score on you too, and I get that. But really, Tampa should win that game, you know, and that's how it is.
San Jose versus Arizona.
I think it's a crapshoot.
I actually like Arizona in that game. I'd rather pick up Vemelka.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like you could get Vemelka as opposed to streaming a backup goalie for San Jose. Yeah, I'll take Vemelka in Arizona.
Jesus, Calgary scored again. This game is nuts.
This is crazy, and I just noticed it's not even half over. Mm-mm. It's like not even halfway through the second, and it's 5-4 right now. Koskinen has a 583, and Markstrom has an 810.
Sick. Oh, man, I love roast beef parties.
That 810 is looking real good right now.
Roast beef party, man. Fucking A. All right, that is our week preview. We're going to catch you guys later in the week. And until then, you can find us on Twitter at FHF Hockey. You can chirp us in the Discord if you like, and we'll catch you in there. But until then, we love you guys.
Love you.
Love yous.
gets